Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise be to God. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all 9 of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God.
Dear Lord, give me the wisdom to focus, not on the distractions of the moment, but on the priorities that matter. Today and every day, Father, guide my thoughts and guard my heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. Again, you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Praise be to God.
Well, come on, put your hands together. If you know you're going high in Jesus, I know I am. Come on, listen. I'm moving upward and I
am the one who spoke into nothing, and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. I am healer, mender of broken hearts, Alpha Omega, your destiny and where you start. I am the one who does impossible. Just let me be who I am to you. That's who I am. Just let me be who I am for you.
Stop it.
I am the one. A need and always provides. I am the one whose name is a tower where you can run and hide. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word,
about to give birth to a baby.
She laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed. But you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed. But body's rocking with pain, but I am. Look at somebody and say, God says,
I am.
Let me be who
I am.
I don't understand how I'm gonna get out of it, but and say, God says,
I am.
Look at somebody else and say, God says,
I am.
Somebody needs to know that God says,
I am.
One more time, y'all. Tell them who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but can bring you out no matter what it looks like.
I am.
Say, I am.
I am.
One more time, say, God says,
I am.
Just lean on him because
I am.
You can be here.
I am.
Amen. Dear Lord, in weak moments, we may try to build ourselves up by placing ourselves ahead of others. But you want us to be humble servants to those who need our encouragement, our help, and our love. Today, we will do our best to follow in the footsteps of your Son, Jesus Christ, by serving others humbly, faithfully, and lovingly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in basic theology. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
I'll bless your name. live for you. David said, I have said the Lord always before me. I bless your name. Your name. Come on, let's take it higher.
I'll live for you.
I'll live for you.
I'll die in you.
For I have said the Lord always before me. Because you're on my right hand, I shall not be moved. I bless your name.
Time for our devotional message. Amen. Which is entitled, Trust Me, to God Be the Glory. Scripture reading for this message is coming from Psalms 46 and 10 from the AMP Bible. And it says, Let be and be still. And know, recognize, and understand that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Amen. Praise be to God. My second scripture reading is coming from Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. And it says, Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Amen. Praise God. And my third scripture reading is coming from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. And it says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promise, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His mighty word. Amen. Again, the title of this message is Trust Me by Relinquishing Control into My Hand. Let go and recognize that I am God. This is my world. I made it and I control it. Yours is a responsive part in the literal litany of love. I search among my children for receptivity to me. Guard well this gift that I have planted in your heart. Nurture it and with the light of my presence. When you bring me prayer requests, lay out your concerns before me. Speak to me candidly. Pour out your heart. Then thank me for the answers that I have set into motion long before you can discern results. When your requests come to mind again, continue to thank me for the answers that are on the way. Stating your concerns to me, you will live in a state of tension. When you thank me for how I am answering your prayers, your mindset becomes much more positive. Thankful prayers keep your focus on my presence and my promises. I pray that this devotional message was a blessing to you as it is to me. Amen. Dear Lord, I have heard your word and I have felt your presence in my heart. Let me act accordingly. Let my words and deeds serve as a testimony to the changes you have made in my life. Let me praise you, Father, by following in the footsteps of your Son, and let others see him through me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus' name, just proclaim. The things that you're doing, knowing ain't right. Don't even know if you can make it through the night.
got your back. Hard time will make you face the truth back. A waste of life, you can't turn back. Mama cried so much till she had a heart attack. In your cell, you're crying out, oh Lord. In the darkness, the voice answers your call. You feel the Holy Spirit anointed you fall. The light of His word pick you up and stand tall. Stand tall.
Father, we ask you now, as we lift your name, that you'll dwell among us and be our God, and we are your people. Let's sing it like this together. No matter what,
no matter what,
come on, the problem
may be,
He's in control.
He's in control, and He knows
yes,
everything.
I have the victory,
cause I have the victory, for He is my King.
In Him I live, I move,
in Him I live, move, and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what,
no matter what. The problem may be,
He's in control.
He's in control, and He knows everything.
How many know that you got the victory?
I have the victory, for He is my King.
In Him I live, I move,
in
and
Him I live,
I
move, and have my
say
name.
Say like the best of people.
Best of
come on, lift them up in here.
For this
rejoice
and shout unto
Him. Why? When you called us. You're in control.
He's in control, and He knows everything.
I have the victory,
I have the victory, for He is my King.
In Him I live.
In Him I live, move, and have my being.
Say that again. No matter what.
No matter what. The problem may
come on, clap your hands like this and sing it with us.
He's in control, and He knows everything.
I have the victory,
for He is my King.
In Him I live.
In Him I live.
Can you believe that?
My
sing this with a breath of people. Come on, lift Him up.
Oh, lift Him up. Rejoice.
And shout unto Him.
And shout unto Him.
The Lord you call Him.
We have caused us to triumph.
And we know we will rule in the end. Say it again. Let the peace.
Oh, lift Him up. Rejoice.
Come on, someone shout.
And shout
with the voice of triumph tonight.
We have caused us to
bless you.
Amen. Praise be to God. Lift him up. It is now time for our daily bread and scriptural reading this evening. And the title of this message is Escape or Peace. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 25 through 33. Amen. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation where it says, and this is Jesus speaking, I have spoken of these matters and figures of speech, but soon I will stop figuratively and will take you plainly and tell you plainly all about the Father. Then you will ask in my name. I'm not saying I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you dearly because you love me and believe that I came from God. Yes, I came from the Father into the world, and now I will leave the world and return to the Father. Then his disciples said, at last, you are speaking plainly and not figuratively. Now we understand that you know everything and there's no need to question you. From this, we believe that you came from God. Jesus asked, do you finally believe? But the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now, when you will be scattered, each one going his own way, leaving me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. The word of the Lord is already blessed. Amen. The text for this message is coming from John 16:33, and it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Amen. And the title again is Escape or Peace. Escape, the billboard shouts. This is the writer speaking. Escape, the billboard shouts the benefits of having a hot tub installed. It gets my attention and gets me thinking. My wife and I have talked about getting a hot tub. Someday, it'll be like a vacation in our backyard, except for the cleaning, the electric bill, and suddenly the hope for escape starts to sound like something I might need escape from. Still, that word entices so effectively because it promises something we want. Rely, comfort, security, escape. It's something our culture tempts and teases us with in many ways. Now, there's nothing wrong with resting or a gateway to some place because beautiful, but there's a difference between escaping life's hardships and trusting God with them. In John 16, Jesus tells his disciples that the next chapter of their lives will test their faith, just like us today. In this world, you will have trouble. He summarized at the end, and then he adds this promise. in verse 33. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus did not want his disciples to cave into despair. Instead, he invited them to trust him, to know the rest of the rest he provides. I have told you these things, he said, so that in me you may have peace. Verse 33. Jesus doesn't promise us a pain-free life, but he does promise us that we are to trust and rest in him. We can experience a peace that's deeper and more satisfying than any escape the world tries to sell us. Amen? Praise be to God. Question. How have you seen invitations to escape in the world around you recently? And how well do you think they might deliver on those promises? Think about those two questions. Amen.
I know what they promise. Promise is never actually something to take away with you.
Amen.
Everybody says you're going to be a hero. And then you have to come back home. Can I ask you this question, ma'am?
Yes.
2015, I went to Nigeria as an armed convoy to save Christians from Boko Haram. We drove them through Cameroon into Chad, and I got shot.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. And how are you doing?
Oh, no, they airlifted me to Tunisia, and they got the bullet out, and then I went to Germany for surgery. I'm not worried about that at all.
Praise be to God.
Yes, ma'am, I appreciate that. The stuff that that messes with me is that kids. We were dealing with kids. I wasn't a child. They had Kalashnikovs. You know, they had some Russian rifles. And they couldn't even hold them. We were sitting there with M4s. You know, I don't know. I don't know if you know anything. I'm just saying that was a ridiculous. I would like to have a conversation about redemption. Nothing about that experience. It never sat right with me. That's all I'm saying. Sorry if I'm interrupting your show, but that never sat right.
Amen. Okay, we're going to pray. Dear Lord, we have heard your word and we have felt your presence in our hearts. Let us act accordingly. Let our words and deeds serve as a testimony to the changes you have made in our life. Let us praise you, Father, by following in the footsteps of your Son, and let others see him through us. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. I pray that God
amen.
Will heal you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. And that he's always with you, because when you was hurt, God was with you, protecting you and keeping you safe, that he brought you back home to your family. Amen?
God bless you, ma'am.
You too. So you have a good evening, and God be with you always. And at this time, I am going to play another selection while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening. Praise God.
Coming.
Praise be to God. Again, amen. We are waiting on our speaker for this evening, our very own Barbara Amore, who is going to come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So while we are waiting for our speaker, I will play another short selection. Oh, never mind. Praise be to God. So at this time, our speaker has arrived, and we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Good evening, our blessed and holy Satan. How are you?
Blessed, thank you. To God be the glory.
Hallelujah. To his name.
Amen.
Someone else on the line with us?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Good evening.
And we also have another caller, 217-697. God bless you. And welcome to our Bible study of Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie.
Welcome.
Amen. Back to you, Barbara.
Thank you. I'm going to start off with prayer.
Amen.
If my volume is a problem or my sound, let me know.
I will.
Okay. Precious and Heavenly Father, it's once more and again. A few of your humble servants come to just say thank you. Father, we thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a brand new day, God, a day we've never seen before. Lord, we thank you for the sunshine, the rain, the snow, the crispness in the air, the fall season. We thank you for everything. We thank you for our families, Lord God, those who are near and those who are far. I ask that you bless all those who are on the line right now. Bless them as they come and bless them as they go. Thank you for allowing them to come together in this fellowship of studying the word, basic theology, more about you, God. So, God, we bless you once more. We thank you. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. Forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission. And just thank you for your very being, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to pick up where we left off. We didn't quite finish chapter 30, but I think I had like two more paragraphs to read or something. And we're going to go back to page 215. And I understand Evangelist Coates has her book, and hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for doing
Amen.
That. We're going to go to page 214, the bottom paragraph, part 5. And we were talking about age days and solar days, so I'm just going to pick it up there. So, and the topic of this is the Bible and origins, the topic of this chapter, the subject of this chapter. And this part 5 says, neither do age days in chapter 1 have sufficient evidence to be accepted. Solar days are indicated. Verse 3 records the beginning of events on day 1 because of the phrase, then God said, let, which also appears at the beginning of the succeeding days. This means that we do not know how long the unformed and unfilled condition of the earth of verse 2 lasted before the days began. So anyone want to talk about that? We don't know how long the unformed and unfilled condition of the earth, verse 2 in Genesis, lasted before the days began.
What can that be? This is Evangelist Coates. Can that be where it says A day to the Lord is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as a day?
Yes, we don't know exactly. We don't know how long that period was, but we do know
right.
that once it was over, that was the first day and the first night.
Uh-huh.
All right? Mm-hmm. And so, yes, we don't know if it was a thousand years or just simply one day. Thank you. But however long or short, that condition did not involve plant, animal, or pre-Adamic human life. Matthew 19:4 and 1 Corinthians 15:45. When we're ready, I think two bad things already, but Evangelist quotes Matthew 19:4 and Evangelist 1 Corinthians 15:45 when I'm ready.
Okay.
Thus the original unfashioned earth might have been old, but the fashioned earth, vegetation, animals, and man, all of which were created during the 6 days of creation, cannot be older than solar days and genealogical tables allow. So you want to get Matthew 19:4, Evangelist Coates?
Yes, uh-huh. Matthew 19:4, coming from the King James Version.
Okay.
And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? That's
Amen.
Matthew 4.
Okay, thank you. Any thoughts about that?
No. It's self-explanatory there.
It's not.
We're talking about the origin and.
Mhm. What does it mean?
It said, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female?
Uh-huh.
And in the beginning, he made the heavens and the earth first.
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning, before he made man.
Yeah, and so when it says pre-Adamic human life, what does that mean in 19:4, Evangelist Hilda?
I'm sorry, I don't have that chapter.
But you can hear what it said. Listen, you don't have to have it. You have it on the computer?
No.
Where's your book on the computer?
No.
So you have a physical book?
Yeah.
Okay, but you don't have that chapter 30?
I wasn't looking. It's Matthew 19:4, you said, right?
The biblical scripture, yes, Matthew 19:4.
Okay, so haven't you read the scripture? Jesus replied, they recorded that from the beginning God made them. Yeah, he was talking to the the Pharisees when he was asking them, haven't they heard in this, haven't they read it in the scripture that God made Adam and Eve?
Okay, so what does that mean as far as Genesis is concerned?
In the beginning, God created man and woman.
Okay. So the men and the women came before everything else was made.
No, everything else was made before he made man and woman.
Okay. Because this is saying that did not involve plant, animal, or pre-Adamic life. So the plants and the animals were created before Adam and Eve.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Like I said,
yes.
It's not self-explanatory. That's why I asked for someone to expound.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's
1 Corinthians 15:45.
I'm sorry, sir. What, you had a question?
No, I was just saying it's a lesson in humility.
We can't distinguish what you're saying.
No, I'm sorry. I have my earbud. I'm sorry. It's a lesson in humility.
A lesson in humility?
Yes, ma'am.
Why do you say that?
That shows that we are made in the image of God, but we are also a creation of Him, and we know that He created everything else. So,
right.
We're made in His image. We are His favorite children,
mm-hmm.
and we should aspire to actually impress Him. We should actually go out of our way to follow His commandments. So we're no different. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm just saying
okay.
I'm saying that we should aspire to be like Him. We'll never actually be able to accomplish that. But yes, ma'am.
But we strive to do so. Thank you. What's your name? You want to share your name?
I'm Joshua.
Joshua, okay. I'm Barbara. And we have Evangelist Hilda, who's facilitating the broadcast, and we have Evangelist Coates. Okay, so I'm glad you joined us tonight. Evangelist Hilda, 1 Corinthians 15 and 45.
15:45 says, the scripture tells us the first man, Adam, became a living person, but the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. Amen.
All right. Any thoughts about that?
Well, Adam could not do the things that Christ did, so Christ came down and died on the cross for our sins, and he gives us a living spirit.
Amen. Okay. And where is that
Sounds
living
like
spirit?
Sounds like another
one. Inside of us.
All right. Indwelling.
Indwelling.
Yeah.
Nothing.
That sounds like another lesson. Another lesson in deception. Because
it's
the first Adam was deceived. I'm sorry.
I'm saying it's all a lesson, so. Okay. Thus the original unfashioned earth might have been old, but the fashioned earth, vegetation, animals and man, all of which were created during the 6 days of creation, cannot be older than solar days, astrological tables allow. To sum up, this is the last paragraph in this chapter. Ultimately, we have to believe that God has revealed what God has revealed. Excuse me. To sum up, ultimately, we have to believe what God has revealed about creation. No human being was present when it happened, but the revelation of it was given by God, who is true, to Moses, who was an educated and reliable writer. Though not all details are included in the record, many facts are, and they should be exegeted to the same way as other scriptures are. Furthermore, the truth revealed in Genesis are attested to in other parts of the Bible and by our Lord. Any comments, any thoughts before we go on to the next chapter?
No.
I just wanted to say that the David and Jesus paradigm with them being both living men is that David was deceived and that destroyed his ability to be in Eden. And then Christ, yes, ma'am, but that's what I'm saying. That Christ was impossible to be deceived.
That's better. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Would you like to say that one more time?
I'm sorry?
I said, would you like to say that one more time so we can hear everything that you're saying?
Yes, I was saying that the entire dialectic of Adam and Jesus was that Adam was deceived by Eve and he lost his place in Eden because of deception, and Christ, the anointed one, Jesus, was impervious to deception. He walked through the desert for 40 days. He was tempted and shunned Satan. So he was impervious to deception. So I'm just saying that the difference between Adam and Jesus when it comes to that dialectic is that Adam was naive and was deceived so easily. Jesus went through hell. He was uncorruptible.
All right.
Amen.
Thank you. Moving right along to chapter 31, the creation of man. Okay. The characteristics of man's creation. The biblical record alone gives us accurate information about the origin of mankind. Certain characteristics of this act stand out in the text. Part A, the subject is, it was planned by God, Genesis 1 and 26. So I'm going to ask Evangelist Hilda to get Genesis 1 and 26 when we're ready for it. And then Evangelist Coates is going to get 31. And if you're still with us, Joshua, I want you to get 2 and 7 when I ask for it, okay?
Let me look it up, man. Thank
you. Okay, not yet, but... The act of creating man was based on the deliberate counsel of God. What does that mean?
Deliberate counsel?
The act of creating man was based on the deliberate counsel of God.
Take that word counsel. Well, take that word very, very seriously. Counsel means that it was something well thought out.
Yes.
So it was a deliberate counsel of God. In other words, like Joshua 29 and 11 says in the Message Bible, I know what I'm doing. Amen?
Amen.
So all that Amen. God had in creation up to that point, he pronounced as good. Creation was incomplete without man. Man was no afterthought, but the result of deliberate forethought on the part of the Godhead. And after God created man, he then said that everything he had made was very good. So he answered, get Genesis 1 and 26. Joshua, get Genesis 1 and 27, and Evangelist Coates, get 31 when we're ready. We're ready now.
Okay, Genesis 1 and 26 says, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. Amen.
Amen. What does that mean?
Well, it means that God, man will be the one to name all the animals that God has created.
Did he say name?
No, then he said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea.
Okay,
the
so
the
they.
Sky. So
okay.
They. All right.
So they what?
So they made, they named all the animals, the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock.
No.
Man did that.
Who did that?
And
God made man in his image, and man was the one to name all the animals that God had created.
Okay. So that doesn't have dominion.
That's
not what?
Tell her again.
It says to let them have dominion, have the power over them. Let them have dominion over the fish and over the sea and over the fowls of the air.
So man will reign over the animals, the fish, the birds, all of that.
Yes.
Be in charge of. Have dominion over. Joshua, Genesis 1 and 27. And 2 and 7, if you would.
Okay, I'm coming through this right now. I just got to 27. So I need to look at 1, 2, and 27?
1 and 27, and then 2 and 27.
I got you. Hold on one second. I can only go as fast as my internet on my phone.
Okay. So why are you doing that, Evangelist Coach? Would you get 31? 1 and 31?
Yes. And God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. And the
All
evening
right.
but, and the...
No. Gone.
And the evening and the morning were the sixth day.
Thank you. And so what is different about verse 31?
Because after he created the man and the woman, instead of it being good, it became very good.
All right. It was more than good. Now it's very good.
Very good.
Now it's
yes.
very good. So does that imply anything?
He was very happy.
Okay.
He was very happy.
Okay. Thank you, Joshua. 1 and 27.
The free will, our capacity for greatness, beauty, and altruism, is wonderful. As awesome as our capacity for terribleness.
Is that 1 and 27, Joshua?
No, ma'am. No, I just wanted to make sure that everyone understood that.
Excuse me. We need to just 1 and 27, please.
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them.
Thank you.
The recognition of power. I'm sorry, what?
Just 27.
Yeah, he read it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay,
yes, I'm sorry. I was going into it.
2 and 7?
Yes, ma'am.
2 and 7, Joshua.
2:17? Genesis 2:17.
Two and seven.
2:17. Oh, okay. I was definitely reading 27.
We wanted you to read the two verses, Joshua.
I know. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not trying to hold up the show. Here we go. Let me pull this up here. All right. So it won't even let me scroll down. I love that. I love how the internet works, guys.
No, we're going to somebody else. It's okay. It's not as fast on the phone. I understand that, and it's okay. Who has it? Genesis 2 and 7, unless you have it, Josh.
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into the nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
So, what do you see in that?
Well, during that time, the earth was rich because of the God making the earth and making the dust of the earth. And he created man in his image and in his likeness. And after he did it, he breathed in them into his nostrils. And man became a living soul.
Okay. Now, I have a question. You said in that day, God created the earth and it was rich. And so did things change?
Well, look what man has done to the earth with the climate change, with plastic and pesticides and so forth. Look what man has done to the earth.
Okay, but God still made it.
Excuse me, but God did not make it. Where it was that pesticides and the earth had been damaged.
Right, he didn't pollute it.
Right, he didn't pollute it. But that's the word, polluted. He didn't pollute it. The earth wasn't polluted.
He gave man choice.
What did you say, Joshua?
I said that he gave man choice. Man chose to pollute it, profit, for imaginary financial nonsense.
Yes.
Right. I'm getting to her point where she said that God made the earth rich in the beginning. And my thing is that whatever the state of it in now, polluted, chemicalized, poisoned, whatever, man cannot make dust. He can't make the earth. He can't make the rich red clay. So God still God has done that. It's what man has done to it. But God has made the original form of dirt and dust. That's not changing.
This is a comedy of people putting natural on anything, is that it was created by nature. Man is part of nature. So anything created by man is natural.
Okay, but I'm saying God made it in the beginning, and it's still made by God. Nothing has, that has not changed. We can't make...
Oh, no, here it is. This is the simplicity, and I'm going to take everybody home with this one. Man cannot create. All we can do is manipulate. God gave us everything. All we do is manipulate everything. So you see the trains, you see the tall skyscrapers, you see the cars you're driving around, the roads you're driving on. We can manipulate, we cannot create. We did not create any of this.
Exactly. Because we are, God is creation El Helio. Familiar with that term?
I'm sorry, say that one more time, please.
I say God is the creator of creation, El Helio. You familiar with that term?
He creates
El Helio.
Joshua, not anybody but Joshua.
Okay.
Did you say El Helio?
I can't hear you.
Did you say El Helio?
Creation,
no.
El Helio.
Oh, creation and destruction incarnate, the yin and the yang. Yes, I understand that.
What does it mean? Creation ex nihilo. I said it wrong. Have you heard that before?
No, ma'am.
Okay. So can you explain it to him, Evangelist Hilda?
No.
Evangelist Cole?
It created something out of nothing.
There you go. Creation ex nihilo. N-I-H-I-L-O. Created something out of nothing, which only God can do. Getting back to the dust. Something out of nothing.
Amen.
Man can't do that.
Life does not make sense without God.
Nothing was done without God. Okay, so part B, it was direct. special and immediate. She's talking about the plan of God. It did not involve any evolutionary processes that relate man to some sub, none, or pre-human group form that would mean that as far as his physical nature was concerned, man was derived from some non-human animal form into which God breathed the breath of life. Genesis 2 and 7 does not support this theory at all, and it reinforces the fact of special creation from materials that are inorganic. It does not lend support to the idea of a derived creation from some previously living form. And I know you weren't here last time, Joshua, but we were talking about certain things in this book that said there were things here before God created man that was a pre-creation that existed. That's where we got some of the fossils from. Have you ever heard that before?
I know the story of Lilith and the three angels that had to hunt her down. I know about the djinn. I don't know everything, but I know a little bit.
Okay, I'm just saying, in all of that understanding that the book, the author thought that it was done, or someone had said, he had other authors that said that it had been done, it all boils down to the fact that no, that's not so. It started with the creation that we know it of, with God creating the world out of nothing. So if one can sustain the theory that Adam was created from some pre-organic form, Eve certainly was not. Her body was clearly a direct, special, and immediate act of creation. To acknowledge this in the case of Eve, while denying it in the case of Adam, is, to say the least, illogical. Any thoughts about that?
No, man, that fact is far wrong.
For some reason, you're not coming through clearly.
Something's wrong with his
phone.
I'm
sorry, I'm using an earpiece.
Let me
take this thing out.
Yeah.
All right, can you hear me better now?
Yes, thank you.
Yes, we can hear you much better now.
Spend more money when you're going to buy ear pods. I'm just telling you guys that right now.
Thank you. Thank you.
As one could sustain the theory that...
If not, I'm moving on. Furthermore, the dust of the ground out of which man's body was made cannot be an allegorical reference to some animal form, because God said man will return to dust when he dies, and man does not return to an animal state of death. Genesis 3 and 19. Thoughts about that?
I wish you could elaborate on that a little bit more.
The Vikings had it right. And
what,
so did the Celts. The Vikings and the Celts actually had it right. The Vikings would send the deceased off on a boat, and they would make sure to set the boat on fire from a distance. Mm-hmm. But then the Celts, which I am wholeheartedly accustomed to, they would build a structure to make sure that the body was burned entirely into ash, and all the wood beneath it would also burn. And they would put trophies, not necessarily trophies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, ma'am, what?
So ashes to ashes and dust to dust.
Yeah, no, pretty much, yeah. Yeah, exactly that.
Right, which is, again, what it says. What's that?
Nothing.
Which is what it said at the graveside. The gravesite. By whoever, the preacher, and not always a preacher, but whoever's funeralizing at the internment.
Yeah.
Ashes and dust to dust. We okay with that?
Yes.
death.
Okay, in 3:19 of Genesis, Evangelist Hilda, read that.
By the sweat of your brow, you will have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. For you were made from dust, and to dust you will return. Amen.
All right. This is what we just expounded on. That someone
yes.
wants to add something to it. Going to part C, it involves two facets. God used the dust from the ground into which he breathed the breath of life. This caused man to become animate. The same phrase, a living creature, in parentheses and quotations, is also used of animals. We see that in Genesis 1:21 and 24, and 2 Genesis, chapter 19. But since animals were not created in the image of God, as was man, there exists a clear distinction between animals and man. Evangelist Coates, would you get Genesis 1:21 and 24? Evangelist Hilda, Genesis 2 and 19.
Okay.
Can I throw something
yes.
out there?
Yes.
The difference between holy and unholy is the more holy you are, the more you go out of your way to act like you're a servant of God, using forks, wearing clothes, and the unholy when you wear only garments, tiny garments like dresses and whatnot, and you eat with your hands. I'm sorry. I traveled around the world a little bit.
Doctor, what does that have to do with the lesson that we're going through? We're going through the lesson.
I'm talking about practical application.
Genesis 1 and 21, you said?
Yes, ma'am, and 24.
Okay. And God created great whales and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his time. And it was so.
Okay, that was 1:21.
That was Genesis 1 and 21 and 24.
Okay. Any thoughts about that?
He brought creatures after their kind. Just like he created Adam and Eve after his kind. They were human beings.
Procreated.
Yeah, procreated. Well, procreated.
And, okay. So is there any thoughts about that?
Well, we have the book in front of us, but since animals was not created in the image of God as man, there exists a clear distinction between animals and men.
Mm-hmm. So,
yes.
Looking at from a sense of racial justice and injustice, that was one of the reasons that caused people to think that the races should not mix because they were not after their own kind.
Well, to me, there's only one race, and that's the human race.
Right, but they didn't believe that. They believed that if you're not of a certain kind, that, you know, you're less than.
Certain ethnic.
Yeah, certain race.
Yeah, certain race. It's certain ethnic, whatever.
Okay. Certain ethnicity. So 19, 2 and 19. Who has that?
I do. So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And the man chose a name for each one. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. And what was the purpose in all of that? We know to name the animals, but also we discussed it somewhat last week. What was the whole purpose of that?
Whole purpose of what?
Distinction.
Distinction and the whole purpose of Adam naming all the animals and such. What was he doing?
He was
God,
logically calling it as it was.
Telling it as it was?
I'm sorry, ma'am. Is that different than what you were going to say?
Yes. Evangelist Hilda, do you recall?
The naming of the animals is, God was giving Adam authority over the animals.
And
okay.
Was that a burden or a punishment, or is that a privilege?
That was a privilege.
That was a
yes,
privilege.
That was a privilege.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a privilege. And he brought them unto Adam to see what Adam would call them.
And Adam was black, right? He wasn't.
Excuse me?
Eden was Africa.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's all that matters to me. Okay.
We already know that.
Is what was the point of God having Adam name all these animals and basically have them parade in front of Adam?
For the seers, I said to check out Adam's intelligence.
Oh, that too, but
the concept of benevolent burden actually comes across my mind.
Say that again?
Benevolent burden.
Okay, we passed that, though. The point of Adam naming the animals was for God to allow Adam to pick a mate.
Yes, right.
Did he have intercourse with one of the animals? He had to break
no,
a rib. God had to break a rib off.
Excuse me, Joshua. Joshua, calm down. Joshua.
I'm pretty calm.
Calm down.
Okay, it says, the man named the cattle. I'm at Genesis 20, I guess, 2 and
yes.
20. And I'll read it from 20 through 22. It says, the man named the cattle, named the birds of the air, named the wild animals, but he didn't find a suitable companion. I'm reading from the message.
Okay.
God put the man in sleep. As he slept, he removed one of his ribs and replaced it with flesh. God then used the rib that he had taken from the man to make woman and presented her to the man, okay?
Okay.
So his whole point in naming the animals originally was to find a helpmeet. And he saw elephants and giraffes and chimpanzees and birds.
And he didn't find a suitable mate.
We all agree that's terrible, right?
So, one at a time. Thank you, respectfully. Okay, so he could find a suitable mate, so he had to put him to sleep. And when he put him to sleep, that's when he performed this miracle. Okay,
yeah.
Which was the miracle?
What was the question? What you said? I didn't hear what you said.
I said, what was the miracle? God had to put Adam to sleep and perform the miracle. What was the miracle?
Eve.
He made
Eve was the miracle because he took Adam's rib and made woman.
It's not.
I don't think it's that simple. He made contrast to what Adam was. Adam was man. He had to make contrast to man, so he made Eve,
which was woman.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, no, I know. I'm saying it wasn't as simple as just he made woman.
Okay, you can complicate it, but I mean, I think the Bible gives it like one sentence.
Yep. He made
flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man.
Right.
Therefore, shall
So that was the first time that a woman came from a man. From there on out.
The only time.
The only
the first
time.
And only time.
And so from there on out, what transpired?
Biblically, a whole lot of nonsense.
But we don't want to talk about the nonsense.
I'm just saying a whole lot of nonsense.
No, no nonsense.
The Cain and Abel story?
No, we're not there yet.
Okay, hold on. I'll back up. I'm sorry.
We're following the text. The creation of man.
After the marvelous creation of woman from man, from there on out, woman gave birth to everybody else, to mankind.
Exactly.
It may not be that simple, but that's what it is. Okay.
Exactly.
But animals were not created in the image of God, as was man. There exists a clear distinction between animals and man. What is that distinction? Anybody know the distinction between animals and man?
For one thing, man walks upright.
We got some animals that walk upright, too. You ever seen a bear?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, I have.
Yep.
The distinction between animal and man is that man was made in the image of God and animals were not.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen,
Joshua.
All I have to do is be right and I get praised here? Oh, this is awesome. Okay.
You see how it goes? No, Joshua.
The object of Bible study.
We love you even if you say the wrong thing. But nothing is wrong. We want to hear all of your opinions. That goes to everybody on the line. Nothing is wrong. We just want to get it out there and kind of, you know, masticate it so we can get to the crux of the whole subject, okay? So don't be fearful, please, but just do it respectfully, one at a time. All right? So,
and also have a sense of humor, because that's God's way.
Well,
that's right.
Amen, amen. So, and whatever your background is, bring it. That's fine. That's what it is. That's all you can do is bring you, okay? Bring you. So, moving on to the next paragraph, it says, in the case of Eve, God first took a rib with its surrounding flesh from Adam's side and then fashioned or built it into a woman. Genesis 2:21-23. Did we read that yet?
No.
I think I did.
Yeah, you did, yeah.
I just read. So God constructed Eve after taking the parts from Adam's side. Build, O-I-L-D, applies to the fashioning of a structure of some importance. It involves constructive effort. Part two. Any questions? I'm moving on to part two.
Okay, go ahead. So,
the pattern for man's creation. The pattern for man's creation. God created man in his image and according to his likeness. Genesis 1, 26 through 27. Then, children, when I'm ready, please get that. Genesis 1. We read that already also. We read that in the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're not going to go back to it. But other relevant scriptures to this doctrine include Genesis 5 and 1, 3, which speak of the transmission of the image from Adam to his descendants, 9 and 6, which relates the concept of capital punishment, 1 Corinthians 11 and 7, which correlates the doctrine to headship, Colossians 3 and 10, which exhorts the believer to put on the new man that is according to the image of his creator, and James 3 and 9, which relates the concept to proper speech. Psalm 8, though not contained with the phrase image of God, deals with poetic form with the creation of man and his dominion. Any questions about that? You want to look at the scriptures?
No.
I have a question.
Yes.
Why do people think that Christians are soft when they're actually pretty terrible when it comes to punishment? I'm not saying it's not justified. Hold on. Okay, I'm sorry. No, that was sarcastic. I'm sorry.
Why do they think Christians are soft, but when it comes to punishment, they are kind of brutal? And I would think that's more in the ancient of days, not so much now.
I'm playing John Stone from Annandale, though.
I'm not that one.
Oh, no, the Crusades.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. And so what happened during the Crusades? They were brutal.
Do what?
It was a war fought for the sake of religion.
Yes, ma'am. It was pushing people back into places where they practice the religion, outside of places where they don't practice it. Yes, ma'am. I understand that.
Okay. So the Crusades was something else, and many wars are fought because of religion.
Israel, yeah, almost all of them.
Okay. Places in the Arab world are fought because of religion. And we know in the Arab world they have many beheadings, okay? The jihad,
yeah,
and all of that. They just,
yeah,
like he said, they're not all Christians.
Hold on. Pretty much every war in history except for World War I and World War II, that was just a bunch of Christians. And in World War I, there was the Ottoman Empire. They were Muslim. It was all just a bunch of people who actually agreed on a lot of things, killing each other because people told them to. World War I and World War II were terrible.
Yeah.
That's all. I'm sorry.
No,
how old are you, Doctor?
Evangelist, coach.
How old
are you?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so let's go to the relevant scriptures to this doctrine. Includes Genesis 5 and 1. Would you get that? And 3.
Already have it.
Would you read that, please?
Okay. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him.
And 3.
And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. So Adam was 130 years old when he begot Seth.
Mm-hmm.
That's one three.
Okay, thank you. And any thoughts about that? I think it's self-explanatory.
Yeah.
Evangelist
no,
Ella,
that's pretty solid.
Mhm. Evangelist Hilda, would you get Genesis 9 and 6? And Joshua, would you get 1 Corinthians 11 and 7?
I have a question, though.
Yes.
Does that make Eve, I mean, I don't know who the mother of Adam's son was, but does that make Eve the stepmom?
Of Seth?
Of Seth?
Yeah, no, Seth's I'm just...
Eve was Seth's mother.
Okay. I did not know that, but okay.
Oh, why would you think it was stepmother?
There's an entire storyline that came before that with Lilith.
With Lilith?
He's coming from Lilith. He's coming from totally different mythology.
No, I don't take it seriously. Actually, I want to name one of my dogs after one of the angels that hunted her down. But no... I don't take that so seriously, but I'm saying I can understand that they tried to make all things equal in the beginning, and it didn't work. And then after they found out that it wouldn't work, I can understand how Eve would be a thing. I mean, does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah.
All things Eve was referring to.
Where did you get the information on Lilith?
That's close.
Hold on. Am I being yelled at? No, we're on the same team, guys.
No, I'm trying to ask him a question. Benji's coach is going into a whole thing about... No,
Lilith. Lilith was the first woman created. She was created from clay, too.
Okay, but that's not biblical.
I know it was a... how many books were erased from the Bible?
Well, quite a few, and I think Enoch's had 300 and something, and they were all erased. But we're not going there right now. We're just going to kind of stick with what we got.
I know, but this is actually... Okay, I'm not gonna. If you want me to talk about it, I'm not going to talk about it, but okay.
Maybe at another time, but right now we're just trying to get through this. Okay?
Okay. I have nothing to say about it. All right. Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry, Joshua. It's not like that. So, Evangelist Hilda, 9 and 6, Genesis 9 and 6.
If anyone takes a human life, that person's life will be also taken by human hands. For God made human beings in his own image.
Okay.
God is saying that, you know, killing is wrong. So that even that person that you have killed is still made in the image of God, and it's wrong for you to kill them. God is the judge, not us.
Murder is wrong.
But it's also talking about capital punishment, and as it says in my Bible.
What does that mean, though? That means the state committing murder. I'm not talking about, you know, killing someone. How easy is that to do that in a terrible situation in a big city? We can all do that at any time. I'm talking about capital punishment means that the state has determined, so the state is the actual murderer.
Right.
Don't murder anybody, ever.
Excuse me?
I'm saying don't murder anybody, ever. But it's not, thou shalt not kill. That's not the commandment. Thou shalt not murder is the commandment.
Okay, but in the Bible, it says thou shalt not kill.
No, it's thou shalt not murder.
Okay, we'll get to that. Can you find that in the Ten Commandments? And while you're finding that, Joshua,
that's the original Hebrew.
Fine. But let me go to Genesis 9 and 6, where it says, whoever sheds human blood by humans, let his blood be shed. And this is what you spoke on a little bit, talking about capital punishment. This is what the author is talking about, that if you kill somebody, that you should be killed too. That's corporal punishment. Capital punishment.
They fallen. They fallen. What the verdict that had came down for the individual? If he was charged with murder, and they proved it, and so they were doing their job.
Right. So it seems that the Bible also is a proponent of killing for killing. If you shed somebody's blood, then you're
that's completely different. No, I blame that completely on the state. Capital punishment, murder from the form of the state, murder from the state's hand is completely different than me protecting myself, my family, and my property. That's completely different.
Yeah, that's true.
To murder is the greatest sin you can commit, to murder somebody. I mean, and then you even go into the deeper stuff where it's like...
Therefore, if murdering somebody is the greatest sin that you commit, then how are you going to pay for that sin? Then it says here in the sixth, whosoever shed his man's blood...
When it's justified.
His blood is shed.
When it's justified, yes, absolutely. When it's justified to end another person's life, when they were trying to end yours, yes, absolutely, ma'am. That's when it's justified. That's when it's okay. I'm not going to say you're going to sleep at night, but that's when it's okay. That's when it's justified. That's when it's legal.
And you said the greatest sin is murder?
Murder, yes. With hate in your heart, you end another human being's life.
Okay, but all sin is equal. No sin is greater than any sin. They're all equal.
It's
one
not a sin to protect yourself.
All that sin
one may be more heinous, but sin is sin. Just like
sin
a lie.
Sin is sin,
so
yes, ma'am.
Wait a minute, please. Some say a little white lie, but all lies are lies. And sin is sin. There's no sin that's greater than any other one.
Yes, ma'am, and I'm not here to lie.
If I may, the only sin that's worse is blasphemy, and that will send you to hell.
Are you talking about insulting the church?
No.
I'm talking about insulting God, taking his name in vain.
I'm not going to take the Lord's name in vain. I have nothing to do with that.
But I'm just saying, that's the sin.
Yes, ma'am. I'm aware of that. But no, but there's a huge difference when you have to defend yourself. I'm from a city called Chicago.
We understand that.
Do you understand what happens in Chicago?
Right now we are dealing with the leper.
That's where
it's
you live?
805.
Okay, that's where you live?
I'm from Chicago, yes, ma'am.
But is that where you live now?
No, I made money and I left because anybody with a mind would do the same thing.
Got that right. Okay. I just want to take a minute, Evangelist Hilda. I'm trying to look at the Ten Commandments.
Okay.
It says, I'm trying to find the one that talks about.
I'm not wrong. I guarantee you I'm not wrong.
Okay.
Protect yourself. I'm telling you, it's not the same thing, because if you do it in malice, if you do it in an angry way,
Exodus 20.
It's not the same.
Exodus 20, I'm in the wrong one. I'm Exodus
6. Yeah, Exodus 20.
You have to have malice in your heart to make it a sin.
Thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land. which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. What did you say?
We want to talk about the murder. Does it say kill or murder?
It says, no, it says thou shalt not kill.
Okay.
Thou shalt not kill.
Kill is not the same thing. No, no, I'm telling you, the original translation in Hebrew is murder. You can't take a life out of vengeance or anger.
Okay, I'm looking at the message, and in Exodus 20 and 13, is that 13 in your book too, Evangelist?
Exodus 20 and 13.
Okay, in the message it says no murder.
Yes, no murder.
God, your God is giving you no murder.
No murder,
no
absolutely. No murder,
lies,
ever.
No lusting after.
Never take a life out of malice, malevolence, or... No, out of anger, malevolence, or malice. Yes,
okay,
never take a life.
And so there's a difference between killing and murder. Both parties are dead, but to murder someone is usually, like you're saying, with malice in your heart. But to kill someone, and it's still murder, but it's also like a soldier in a war.
Hold on. To end a war, not even that. To end a life, right? You're talking about ending a life? Ending a human life, the most precious thing that God ever gave any of us.
That's the best of life.
Yes, the most precious thing that God can ever give us is experiencing space and time. That's the most beautiful gift ever on any plane. I don't care. Okay, so we experience space and time, life. Okay, to end a life maliciously, hatefully, is murder. To end a life, to protect yourself from that individual ending your life, is self-defense. That's killing.
Right. Okay.
Okay, that's all I wanted to say.
There is a
distinction. We're in agreement with that.
How do I live with that?
I know we are in agreement.
But the hour is drawing to a close, and we're here till 8 o'clock, but it's after 8. Joshua, I hope you join us again next Tuesday. I mean, Evangelist Hilda is here every day except Saturday and Sunday at this time. So if you can come back and study the Bible with us tomorrow, Wednesday from 7 to 8, and especially with me next Tuesday from 7 to 8-ish,
you have been a delight.
It has. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, absolutely.
You got to pray out and be dismissed. And again, love you all. Thank you for the discussion. It was hot and heavy, but that's how we do it. So.
I like it like that.
All right, Evangelist Coach, would you take us out?
Father, we thank you for this another day that you allowed us to have. We ask that you continue to watch over us, protect us, and shield us from all hurt, harm, or danger. We thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We ask that you continue to give us a heart to want to learn more about you. And we ask that you give us revelation knowledge. In your name we pray. And thanks for Joshua joining us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you so much. Amen. Love you all. Be safe. And come back again, Joshua.
We're
yes,
here
ma'am.
Tomorrow at
7,
Joshua.
We're okay.
Only because you're so tempting.
We'll be talking through the Bible.
Praise God. Praise God.
Okay.
Love you all.
Yeah, let's take it out old school. Let's take it out old school. In nomine Patri, et Fili, et Spiritus Sancti. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen.
Love you all once more. Shalom.
Shalom, everybody. Have a wonderful evening. Stay safe.
You too.
Cheers, everybody.
Good night.